In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, it's sad that we're not going to be greeting each other with that next Sunday. But we'll still be celebrating, because we'll be celebrating the Lord's ascension into heaven, and we'll be anticipating great and holy Pentecost that following Sunday. We move from feast to feast, from greater to even greater things with God. We trade in what we have for something better. This is how our life in Christ is. And in fact, these last three Sundays, we saw examples of that. We saw the man who was lame, unable to walk by the pool of Bethesda, trade in his life of paralysis for a life of activity, a life centered on Jesus Christ. We saw the same happen with the Samaritan woman just last Sunday. She came thirsty for water, for men, for everything. And she received the water of godliness, and she never thirsted again. Today we have the example of the blind man who trades in his blindness for sight, darkness for light. And in each of these cases, this trade-in is something of a trade-up. Everyone knows a trade-in. You go to the car dealer, you trade in your car, you get a new car. These are trade-ins of life for an upgrade to eternal life, life as it should be, life more abundant, life that God has prepared for us. In the case of the blind man, we see him trading in this blindness for sight, and we think that we would do the same if we were in that situation. Who wouldn't do that? But sometimes that decision is not so easy for us. Sometimes hard to trade in darkness for light, even though we would think it'd be a no-brainer. And that's because there are three different types of blindness. The first type of blindness, and we're talking spiritual here, the first type of spiritual blindness is ignorance, where we're in the dark about something, where we simply just don't know. And there's also that expression that sometimes you don't know what you don't know. We can be ignorant of things that exist that we don't even know about. So it's not just a matter of not knowing things like calculus or language, but even things that we can't even imagine. We have an ignorance of these things. And these are heavenly realities sometimes. That's the first type of blindness, the blindness of ignorance. A second type is a blindness of inaccuracy. We think that we know something, but it's actually not that way in reality. We think that, yeah, this is exactly how it is, but we're blind to the fact that actually, no, it's different than that. And sometimes it's totally opposite that, the inverse of that. The blindness of inaccuracy. And of course, then there's this blindness of pride. A willful blindness, where we have our own understanding, and when it's revealed to us that that understanding is wrong, that it's deficient, that it needs fixing, that we need enlightenment, we prefer to remain in our darkness. This was the case of the Pharisees and the scribes. When the Lord had exposed everything for them, they chose their darkness. They chose their blindness. And they asked the Lord, the Pharisee said, "Are we blind too?" "If you were blind," Jesus replied, "you would not be guilty of sin. But since you claim that you can see, your sin remains." The Pharisees were so happy with their own knowledge, their own understanding, that when they came face to face with absolute truth, they weren't willing to change. They weren't willing to repent. They were happy with the status quo. They were happy with their blindness when they were offered sight, because they were happy with themselves when they were offered Christ. Egotism. We've been talking about that, because that's really at the root, at the heart of all of our sins. This egotism, this life where we're number one. You know, I mentioned that sometimes it's hard to trade in our darkness for light, or blindness for sight. And I'd like to share with you an illustration of that. Everyone's familiar with those game shows on TV where they call the contestants forward and they give them some kind of a prize, some dollar amount, $1,000. And then they say, well, are you willing to trade in that $1,000 for what's behind door number one? And the person thinks about it. Well, maybe. The host asks them again, are you interested in trading in? The crowd is giving this kind of whole variety of answers. Yes, no, don't do it. Absolutely, trade it in. Everyone's shouting different things. There's kind of chaos. And the person doesn't know what to do. They have something. Do they want to trade it in for what's behind door number one? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. That's how it is actually in the church too. We all come here with the life that God has given to us, this ordinary earthly life. And he gives us the chance to trade it in for something better, something that we haven't seen yet, something that we're ignorant of. We don't know what we don't know. But he tells us, he's the host, right? He tells us, trade it in. It's better. He knows, he's the host. And the audience is not people who are yelling out different things. The crowd is a great cloud of witnesses, all the saints. Trade it in. We did, and we're happy with what we got. You'll be happy too. Trade it in. Trade it in. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Why would we not trade it in? Why would we not trade in our pride for a little humility? Why would we not trade in our greed for a little generosity? Our lust for a little chastity? The same for all of the vices for virtue. Why would we not trade it in? Why would we not trade in earthly, temporal, corruptible things, things that are fading away, for that which is eternal and lasts forever? Why would we not? Why would we not trade in our time, our talent, our treasure for that which is of God? Why would we not trade in, for instance, even very practical things, our Saturday nights? We have Bible study and Vespers. Why would we not trade in whatever it is we're doing on Saturday night? It's a trade-up. Why would we not trade in 12 great feast days? Those are ordinary days that have been given to us. Why would we not trade that in for a feast day, a holy day, something better? We've been given so many gifts in our talents and abilities and skills. Why would we not put that to service in the church? The Lord expects us to do this. If we remember the parable of the talents, everyone's given something, right? He expects us to trade it in, to increase that investment. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But then, when we stay with the status quo, when we're happy with ourselves as we are, and we don't do the trade-in, then at the end of that game show, or the end of that scene, they open the door, right? And they show what it is that we passed up. That day's coming too. If we don't trade in now, we're going to see what we missed. And what we missed is Christ. On that day, just as the Lord tells us, this will happen to us. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The opportunity to trade in and trade up is now. And if we don't, we will be sorry. We will be in darkness. We will weep. But why don't we trade in? When the host is telling us, the crowd is telling us, we know what the consequence is, it's again because we're happy with what we have and with who we are. There's this complacency. There's this egotism. We don't want to because we're happy as we are now. The blind man in today's gospel reading was not happy. He didn't have sight. and he wanted it. So he traded in the lesser, the inferior, for that which is greater, that which is better. That's what contestants on those game shows do. They trade in the lesser for the greater. And that's what Christians do. They trade in the lesser for the greater because they have trust, faith in the host. In Jesus Christ, who's telling them and us what awaits us, what's in store for us, what's behind door number one. They have faith. They have trust. And they have a certain level of discontent for their own life and a certain displeasure in themselves. They want something and someone better. They want the life of Christ. And this man received just that. He received his physical eyesight, like everybody else, but he also received spiritual sight, a change in perspective. He was now able to see things as the Pharisees couldn't. He was able to see life as it truly is because he saw God in Jesus Christ. He had a great change in perspective. St. Maximus the Confessor, he says that the source of our egotism or self-love or complacency is the ignorance of God. We're happy with what we've got because we haven't seen what's behind door number one. That's why we're happy. We don't know how good God is. St. Paisius, he says, if we could come out of ourselves, our egotism, we would break free from the earth's gravity, and then we would see everything clearly as it really is, with a pure, divine, and penetrating eye. This is what the saints did. They received this sight that God has. And they saw beyond what we see walking the earth. They, if you will, ascended to heaven and they looked down and they saw the whole earth. And some of the saints, they had the gift of clairvoyance. They were able to see into the lives of others who were all the way across the earth. They were able to see into the souls, the minds, the hearts of others, and saw what their problems were, to give them words of instruction to help them. These saints exchanged their earthly eyes for spiritual eyes, for the eyes of Christ. They saw everything through his prism. And of course, that is open to us. That's behind door number one. But maybe we would think it more in our grasp if we just aimed a little bit lower. And that's okay. That's okay. We can take door number two, door number three. Everything Christ offers to us is good. Everything. What would door number two be? Well, that was the life of the blind man. He received his spiritual sight, but he wasn't a clairvoyant elder. He wasn't canonized. He's not on our calendar. He became a Christian. And he saw his life, which was not extraordinary after this. At least not enough to be written down into the lives of saints. He saw his life as a gift from God, his eyes as a gift from Christ. And he saw everything through Christ. That's open to us. Well, Father John, I haven't received my eyes from Christ. We haven't. I haven't received this kind of miracle. What about the miracle of our existence? Who fashioned our eyes? Who gave us a mind to know, a heart to love, a will to act? Who gave us a body and a soul? Who gave us this existence? Christ. He gave us life. It's from him. And we do well to use it for him, if he's to be the center of our life. The Church gives us on this day the life of Saint Constantine the Great. His life in Christ began with a vision. He saw what was behind the door. He saw up in the sky the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some say it was the cross, some say it was the Cairo symbol. And he saw it actually when he was preparing for battle. And he told his soldiers, put this sign on their shields and on their banners. Because he had heard this voice, in this sign you will conquer, you'll be victorious, you'll triumph. So he did that, and he won. He won that battle. But he probably didn't realize that that was the beginning of continual trading in. Because the next year, he signed the Edict of Milan, which granted full religious freedom and protection to Christianity under the Roman Empire. Remember, the Roman Empire had been persecuting Christians. He put an end to that. He traded that in for protection for Christianity. He also traded in the confiscated property that was taken from the church by the Roman Empire. He sponsored new copies of the scriptures. He built churches in Rome and the Holy Land. We also remember his mother, the Empress Helena, discovered the true cross. He gave the Lateran Palace in Rome to the church. He gave financial support, both to Christian communities and to poor families. He entrusted the church to dispense of state funds. He had a dream that he should establish a new city, a new Rome. This he did as the city now known as Constantinople. And he moved the seat of the empire there because old Rome was too immersed in paganism. He moved the capital to a Christian city. He enacted legislation that protected children, slaves, and peasants. You couldn't brand a prisoner on the face anymore because they were made in the image of God. Every Sunday became a public holiday. That's where it started. St. Constantine the Great. Father Daniel, Deacon Steve, and I can appreciate this one. He gave relief to the clergy. They didn't have to pay taxes. Still kind of exists. At least it hasn't been taken from us yet. So they'd have the freedom to serve the Godhead. And he set up military chaplains and church tents for his army. He saw his life, his position in life, through the eyes of Christ. He wasn't, again, clairvoyant. He wasn't of this kind of stellar holiness, if you will, that you might see in some of the desert fathers and mothers. He had an earthly responsibility, earthly duties. He had a family to care for. He had all of these things that normally, for us, become excuses why we don't trade in. It's not just about me, Father John. It's not about me and my ego. I got people to take care of. That's why I can't trade in my life for a greater Christian life. People are relying on me. He was the emperor of the most powerful empire in the world. And he traded it in. We just sang in a hymn last night that Constantine was the first to give over the royal purple to Christ. Think about it. You're happy with what you got, right? When you start out the game show contest. He had everything. He was the number one man on the planet. But he traded it in for the one who's truly number one. And he lived a life of constant repentance. Constantly trading in everything for something better. Brothers and sisters, that is what is open to us. In everything. There are so many doors that are open to us. And once we go through that door, there's another door behind it. And behind that, we can continually trade in and upgrade. And some do, and some don't. This is our choice. Let us be people who put aside ignorance, inaccuracy, and pride. Let us be people who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, people who are assured by the great cloud of witnesses. And let us trade in the temporal for the eternal, the earthly for the heavenly, our own selves for Jesus Christ. Christ is yours.